Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the 18 that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
Hello, everybody on YouTube. Welcome to the end of September.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite months.
It's a very important month, I hear. Yes.
It's a very important month, but you know what? The big month is for everyone on the Post Wrestling Cafe. It's October. Okay. That's the number one month that's coming up. Way, we have outdone ourselves with what is coming up over the next 4 weeks.
It's so important that we have to make two graphics. Okay. Not just one.
Oh, my
to
goodness.
Fit everything in to talk about, because we just have so many exclusives. Too many.
Well, it is all going to begin later this week, as we are going to be bringing Neil Flanagan onto Rewind Away, as we are going to be chatting about Nobody Speak, Trials of the Free Press. And what a time to discuss this documentary that came out in 2017 and features a big look at the Hulk Hogan Gawker trial from 2016. It features the Las Vegas Review Journal being overtaken by a mystery buyer, and the reporters at the Las Vegas Review Journal breaking the story about who they were bought out by, and just Peter Thiel, and most importantly, David Bixenspan. All of that contained in this hour and a half documentary that we're going to be reviewing this coming Thursday on Rewind Away, with Neil Flanagan joining us for the entire show.
It's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix. Very easy to access. And I would wonder how many plays this documentary has been getting over the last couple of weeks.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when you type in Hulk Hogan, it might show up. But I mean, obviously, between Hogan, between just everything to do with, I guess, free speech being a pretty hot topic lately, I wonder if there's a spike in interest. Nevertheless, it's not one we've probably done a review for before. So I'm looking forward to talking about this one with Neil joining us for the whole review.
Also this month on Rewind Away, where we got a special request to go look back at the New Japan G1 Climax from 1992, the second year that they staged the G1, featuring the likes of Rick Rude, Steve Austin, Masahiro Chono, Keiji Muto, and Scott Norton. What a review this will be, going back to 1992, when we had Bill Watts in attendance to watch the G1.
Yeah, back when it was a tournament format and not the round robin like it is now. But it'll be really cool to see Steve Austin there.
Also coming up in October, we are going to be doing a special edition of Talk. It's been a while since Wei and I have sat down together. Wei always dreads these because we usually do them in person. So that means I'm coming over, Wei.
You know what? I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I know you're joking, but you know, it's been a long time. We have a lot to catch up on. We haven't done one of these since May.
That's true. Peacemaker season 2, that's going to be covered by Rich Fan and WH Park, and they're also going to be tackling Marvel Zombies. So DC, Marvel, we don't discriminate. We've got it all covered from WH Park and Rich Fan this month. And Book Club, 107 Days by Kamala Harris.
Yeah, what made you decide to choose this one?
I was asking Neil, what should we read this month? And he said, I just started this book by Kamala Harris, and I too had just started it, and we were both like several chapters in. So we said, let's just do it. And
all right.
I might be squeezing in a secondary review on this one, wrestling related. So that is to be determined as well.
What's more wrestling related than the president 2024 presidential race?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we will break down Joe Biden's late call to Kamala Harris just moments before her debate with Donald Trump. What he said on that call, lots from the from Kamala Harris, who is given no F's now that she's a year removed from this this defeat to Donald Trump. And Wei and I are going to the movies.
Yeah, next week we're gonna. Well, so at some point, it comes out. I believe this week.
This Friday it's out.
This Friday, The Smashing Machine, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Mark Kerr. The documentary we've reviewed in the past on Rewind Away. Now we're going to see Dwayne Johnson and Benny Safdie's take on it. A24 production. Is this Dwayne Johnson's Oscar moment? Okay, we will be the judge. We'll be watching it, and we'll be talking about this next Tuesday in the post.
It's no Tooth Fairy, but we'll see if it's in his upper tier of movies, where we will be talking about Mark Kerr, Igor Vovchanchin, mm-hmm. all under the guidance of a Benny Safdie. So yeah. That's coming out this week. We'll have that movie review coming your way. Plus this month,
Thursday. I misspoke. Not next Tuesday, but next Thursday. We'll be doing that.
A week Thursday. Yeah. Look out for that one. That'll be a special double shot. And then reviews of TNA Bound for Glory, King of Pro Wrestling, weekly editions of Collision Course hosted by Kate from Montreal. And we will have Post Pro Res for this month dropping on Tuesday. So look out for that tomorrow. All of this can be found at postwrestlingcafe.com. All these shows can be yours. $6 for the month. It gives you access to all of these shows, plus ad-free editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, which of course come with the news at the beginning of each show and then your feedback at the end. And access to all of the archives going back to 2017. 190 editions of Rewind Away at your digital fingertips.
Yeah. Let's move on. We've spoken enough.
To Raw we go. Something less corporate. The Lenovo Center.
That's a major corporation.
I know. Raleigh, North Carolina was the site of Raw. 10,632. According to WrestleTix, and welcoming us to Raleigh is Joe Tessitore, who says, quote, Raleigh, that unique mix of cutting edge business savvy and raw, raw spirit. It mirrors the modern day WWE.
I'll take his word for it. I've never been to Raleigh.
Cutting edge business savvy and raw, raw spirit. Just like WWE.
Sure.
Do you sense a raw, raw spirit from WWE,
from many members of its rabid fan base? Yes, I do.
Growing subs, reducing churn, launching AVOD.
Raw begins with Rhea Ripley coming out, and she had hoped to settle the issues with Asuka and Kairi in the ring, but they crossed the line last week. You doused me in food coloring that took me hours to get removed. And we will settle this tonight. Spoiler, they would not settle this tonight. She tells the Kabuki Warriors to come out, but instead comes a very concerned looking Io Sky. Io was like the best actress on this show. She comes out.
Okay. Yes.
Best,
yes, period.
I mean, she was something.
I mean, look at, forget The Rock, forget Dwayne Johnson, nominate her.
This is subtle, okay? Play sad.
She should have played Mark Kerr.
Yeah, the EO machine. She walks down. It breaks her heart to tell Rhea, you were right about Asuka and Kairi, but they are my family, and I still love them. Asuka and Kairi appear on the screen. They taught Io everything. We mentored you. You act like Rhea is your family now, and it's Asuka who takes credit for Io becoming champion, and you forgot about us. But Io, I'm willing to forgive you. All you have to do is apologize and be like Kairi, and both of you can be my students. But it's too late for you, Rhea. You cannot be my student. Rhea tells Io to trust her. I was burned by my family too. And you can't go back to them. Io apologizes. I just need time. And then, as Io has left, Asuka and Kairi appear, jumping Rhea from behind, and Io is torn. But she listens to the voice on her shoulder, and she runs in, pulls Asuka off, but then Kairi begs off as Asuka then lands the mist into the eyes of Io. Rhea fights back, goes for a riptide, but is stopped when Asuka goes for a head kick. And I was hoping Bryan Danielson was on commentary here. I think she just skinned her chin. I think she grazed the chin. This was an Eddie Kingston hurricane at All Out. This totally missed. Wade sells it like he's so concerned. That just about connected with Ripley. And just the wind knocked out of Ripley here. Yeah. And then it is a cutlass delivered to Rhea. The chicken wing is applied with an insane elbow. And when they replay the miss spot, Wade refers to it as the poison mist.
Ooh,
poison.
Well, yeah, it's not just, what is it? Just like
water. What were the effects of this poison mist on Rhea from last week?
Well, it really stung her for a week. I mean,
poison?
Yeah. What, you ever been misted? You ever received poison in your eyes?
No, because I probably would die if that happened.
I don't know if it necessarily means death. It means temporary blindness. Okay, and also
I think it means permanent as well, because none of these people clean themselves off afterwards. Io was doused in this for the whole rest of the show.
Well, we don't know much about the type of poison that comes out of Japanese people's bodies in wrestling. Maybe you're not supposed to touch it for like 2 hours.
In the absence of CM Punk and AJ Lee, since WrestlePalooza, and I do understand like Cody is kind of on loan from SmackDown. Like, as the central Raw program, this has kind of become like the main program on Raw these last couple of weeks.
It closed with
last week, and they're giving a lot of time to these four.
This, along with what's going on with the Vision and the Usos, yeah. I thought this was great. You know, I mean, the acting at times was so bad here, but it's a type of thing where, like, you're reminded that you're watching professional wrestling, where we can be very forgiving of bad acting if it's in service of ultimately what this stuff is about, which is great wrestling. And between these four, I think it's a match that everybody's anticipating anyway. So let's bear with all, like, let's have fun with it. We're not even bearing with it. I think I'm greatly enjoying it all. I mean, it's totally working with this audience. I think the heat that they managed to build by the end was tremendous. Whatever they're using for this food coloring dye, they need to buy the whole thing out.
Asuka can spit out, like, this is all from her mouth. Like, last week Rhea was just like covered head to toe.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's got to be like, you know, not just like being misted, but like you're spreading it, just everywhere. And I suppose
look at this, you got they make really good.
Like, yeah, I wonder if, like, there's something else here. Like, is there something coming out of her mouth that she's using to, you know, just create even more of it? I don't know, but it looked great. And I'm not losing sight of the fact that this now has become a very full story where you can understand each character's motivation. And it's being told by 3/4 of its participants being relatively new to the English language. I mean, this, really, for Kairi and Io, and even for Asuka, it's really like one of the more sort of like one of the first real storylines that they've had to pull their own weight for, that they've had to talk by themselves for in English. And I think that in itself is a big accomplishment, never mind the fact that it's as well received by the fans as it seems to be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Dominic Mysterio and Rusev for the IC title. This was interesting to watch because Dominic pretty much worked this whole match as a babyface. He you know, he is getting thrown around by Rusev, and then he makes his babyface comeback and even plays to the crowd, who are all too willing to cheer on Dominic. Dominic rolls to the floor as he gets out of the way of Rusev, and then ends up landing a 619 to the body and then a proper version, but Rusev rolls away from the frog splash, connects with the Machka kick, and Dom kicks out. And as he sets up for the accolade, Dom again rolls to the floor, takes his belts, and Rusev rolls him back in. The referee takes one belt, so Dominic uses the other to hit Rusev. This has no effect on him, so Dominic does the Eddie bump, but as he is doing it, the referee catches him, and all of them end up in the corner where Dom backs his leg up, nailing Rusev low, and rolls him up, and this place went nuts. 8:55 as Dominic retains, and like this was more so just interesting to watch, like a full-on like underdog babyface performance by Dominic, and getting the you know, catching Rusev and wins the match.
Yeah, when they first announced this and when they were first building to it, I thought it would result in Rusev going in as a babyface against Dom. But instead, this became one of Dom's bigger babyface performances to date. And I mean, obviously, he's had great babyface responses before, whether it be trying to think, was it SummerSlam or was it Mania? It was Mania. Mania was huge for him. And then like being in Mexico was huge for him as a babyface. But they kind of like go back and forth. And for the most part, on Raw, in America, he's still presented as a heel. But for this scenario, going in against Rusev, really as a pure babyface, Eddie Guerrero style, it just made me wonder if they're going to sustain it this time, or if this was like just because of the chemistry he has with Rusev that they decided to book the match this way. But no matter what, I thought doing all the Eddie tweener stuff really kind of made that balance work perfectly. You know, he's still technically a heel, but he's a lovable heel whenever he needs to be. So I just wonder if this is a sustained babyface push for Dom now, or if he's just going to go back and forth.
Well, they have willed this audience, though, into wanting to see this guy as a babyface. Like, I think there will be a bit of fighting in the crowd no matter where they want to go with Dominic. Like, I think the audience wants to get behind this guy, and in these kinds of this was just one where this was not just the audience, it was the whole match was structured toward that reaction as well.
Yeah. I'm, you know, curious to know where this Balor thing is headed. I mean, the whole Roxanne just kind of moving her way towards Dominic, that's been very slow moving. But that still kind of has to percolate. And of course, it all builds up to Liv Morgan eventually making her way back. And that's probably still quite a ways away.
Who's back first? Liv Morgan or Bianca Belair?
Her thumb or whatever, her finger injury? Her finger. Man. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a
Liv. Liv Morgan is back from like reconstructive shoulder surgery before Bianca Belair, who has got like the most just cursed finger injury in the history of WWE performers. It's just wild.
It is. Yeah.
Adam Pearce is with LA Knight, who admits Pearce admits it was a horrible idea making him referee at WrestlePalooza, warns him to stay away from the Usos tonight. He wants a rematch with Seth Rollins. So that's what he's pushing for after the Saturday night's main event win, which is maybe where they could do the rematch the next Saturday night's main event, because that's right after Crown Jewel. New Day come in. They want a tag title shot. Pierce says you have to earn it. They get into an argument, and LA Knight wants to face Kofi Kingston, so Pierce makes it. He's got some time in the later portion of the show. And then we are going back. Part one of our videos. Enemies. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. We have sit-downs with both men. Cody talks about leaving the WWE because he had to do it on his terms, while Rollins says the WWE moved on without Cody, and I was at the forefront while Cody was gone, and I carried this company into a golden age, but I still had to beg for a match at WrestleMania 38. And it was Vince McMahon who granted me that match when I showed up at his office on television. And said that Cody had the advantage of the surprise factor at WrestleMania, and then at Backlash the next month, you grabbed the tights, but the real match was Hell in a Cell. And it was here that these two men earned the same thing in one another. And in sync, we get them saying, respect. Oh, we just brutalized that. This was so cheesy, this line. I'm sure they thought this was a great, really symbolic moment. They both said respect. And Cody talks about this being a defining victory of his career, and Rollins says that Cody is a defining rival. But what makes it's what makes what happened next so tragic? And that's our hook for part two that we will get before. I thought part two was what we got later tonight, because we got like 20 minutes of these two later, but they're going all out for this match.
Yeah,
videos, I don't know. In-ring appearances. There was a lot of Cody and Seth on this show.
Part one was really excellent. I mean, I always love the part ones because we get old footage. Well, at least like older footage in this case. And I thought they did a really great job just telling you the history between these two, condensing their three-match rivalry into 2 to 3 minutes. Part two, obviously, will probably be about WrestleMania 40 and the whole build-up to that. And I'm guessing there's a part three, which is maybe everything from the past 2 weeks. recapped perhaps. So
part three will be Cody searching feverishly in his home for that ring that he hasn't worn in a year. And he found it. I've got it. I knew it was somewhere.
I wonder if he gets to actually keep it, or if they just like put it in the safe or one of their travel cases or something.
There's one guy who's in charge of going town to town with those rings. Bayley meets up with Lyra wearing a Lyra Valkyria shirt, and she asks about Bayley playing mind games. Bayley says, you know, I've been through a lot and you've kind of been caught in the middle of all this, but I can't do this without you, Lyra. I need you in my corner tonight. And Lyra, in her her acting best, was appalled by this offer to be in her corner again. What? So you can just push me on my ass again in front of everybody? She is not giving her any more second chances. You're on your own tonight, and Bayley can't believe this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Joe Tessitore announced that Zuffa Boxing has signed a massive media rights deal that will make the fights easy to access. And the first fight on the new platform will take place in January 2026, as this was over top an image of Dana White and Turkey Al Sheikh. Or as Dana just refers to him, Sheikh Turkey. Sheikh Turkey. Mm-hmm. Bayley versus Raquel. So Raquel throws her during a bulldog attempt, and it's Bayley coming back, and she did a bunch of Hardy spots, being that they were in North Carolina. She did the Hardy signal with a twist of fate on the floor, and then did a swanton off the top. Raquel catches her, throws her off, and then hits the corkscrew elbow. And Bayley went to bounce off the rope into a stunner, but they got this messed up. So she just reset and hit the stunner on the second try. Applies the figure four, but Perez rakes the eyes, which somehow the referee had no idea that this happened right in front of her. And then Raquel wins with a big boot and Tejana bomb in 10 minutes and 24 seconds. It's a 2-on-1 attack. And Lyra, much like Io, she's torn, but she needs to come out and do the right thing. So she runs down, attacks both Raquel and Roxanne, but it's 2-on-1. She gets beaten down, and Bayley snaps and clears the ring. Lyra's looking frightened, but Bayley laughs and helps Lyra up and high-fives her. And Lyra doesn't know what to make of this. What's going on?
Well, the same thing that happens every week. She ends up the show. She ends the show being a different person than she was. So what? What has this been now? Like 3 weeks of this character? And I mean, I think they've done enough of a job to establish like what this is, you know, and the fact that we don't know if we're getting Bayley as a hugger or as the role model. Might I add, like, I think she switches up the voices really well. I never realized there was such a distinction between the two voices, but like, I think you can effectively tell what character she's playing on screen. I don't know if that is as much the case for the people that are live in attendance, or at least the people that are there tonight, because they didn't really seem to react so much for the transformation. It's not the type of transformation that is so like visually stunning that, like, you know, it's obvious to most people who might not be watching, or at least watching like from like the 400 section, for instance. It's either that or they just don't care, you know. And tonight I didn't really sense this maybe hitting as well as maybe previous weeks.
Backstage, Jey Uso is testing the limits of every Jey Uso fan by introducing a yeet bucket hat.
Did he? Well, they're going to put this, they put this logo on everything.
Anything that you'll spend money on.
Yeah.
Jimmy walks in with his own Yeet shirt and said how I needed your help last week, but you walked off. Jay explains, I was not going to help LA Knight. So why are you helping him, Jimmy? Jay says, no help. And I finished the job beating LA Knight. If you did more of that, Jimmy, if I did more of that, I'd be world champion. And that's something you just don't get. But he lowered the temperature by telling Jimmy he loved him. And I'm sorry, he did this with a bucket hat on, and I couldn't take any of this seriously. He looked just totally ridiculous.
Maybe they're back in.
Yeet. We don't know. There's no way. Even if this is going for $80 on WWE Shop.
Yeah. Okay. I thought there's some really strong stuff with these two. I mean, when we're actually talking about like the level of acting on this pro wrestling show, I actually felt like these two had some of the better examples of it here. I think they're both doing really well, especially Jimmy, who I think has been really tremendous. In this case, not really saying anything and just, you know, just showing, telling us exactly how he feels just by the way he's looking.
I'm looking at the Jey Uso page here. I can't find the bucket hat, but what I did come across were frosted yeets, where you can buy $20 for $20. You can make breakfast your main event with Jey Uso cereal. It just says cereal box. I assume it comes with cereal inside of it.
Frosted, I wouldn't trust yeets? This has to be real, right?
It must be. You can't just be ordering a box. I would put nothing past this company, but
I mean, like the New Day probably made a ton of money just selling cardboard.
Yeah. I don't know about
is this real?
Ordering cereal from like another country that's going to take what, like 4 weeks to be delivered.
Frosted yeats. Okay. Interesting. But,
we'll keep an eye on this bucket hat. Maybe it hasn't hit the streets yet.
What's the nutritional value of this frosted yeats?
Probably none. None. It probably is
as healthy as most cereals, I bet. Okay.
Sure.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
EO is still blinded from the mist, and Kairi comes up and wants to talk. She says, we can still be a family. It's not too late. Just apologize to Asuka. And Io tells Kairi to leave her alone and screams at poor Kairi. Well, it's not poor Kairi anymore. She chose her allegiance last week. So then as Kairi walks, she goes to leave and she hands over an old photo of the three of them. So instead of waiting for the big heavily produced video package, they have used the photo for other means. Always take photos of your rivals, especially early in your careers, because they will definitely come to be your best friend if you ever make it to WWE and are in a personal blood feud.
This wasn't that early. This might have been
shot like a week ago.
This might have been this morning, this photo. Yeah. It worked, though. Yeah, they made their point.
LA Knight and Kofi Kingston. Woods distracts Knight, and Kingston ends up hitting a splash off the apron before they go to break. In the ring, Knight knocks Woods off the apron. There's a roll-up by Kingston. He uses the rope for leverage, but Knight kicks out, ducks the Trouble in Paradise, and hits the Blunt Force Trauma, pinning Kofi in 10 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yeah. There was a bit of weirdness here where, partway, Kofi came out of the ring wrong, and Barrow was almost, suggesting that Kofi might have had his bell rung here. I mean, they finished the match, and the referee was checking on him, I think, the whole time. It seemed like he was fine. So I wonder what was up here, a bit of weirdness on the floor. But otherwise, a perfectly fine TV match. I think Knight is looking good. But I still don't know if, you know, like now that he's in title contention for Rollins, I don't know if the crowd takes him seriously as a title contender, really. But they, you know, Jey Uso was very much in the same spot until he had that like surprise Rumble win. So, you know, it might just take something really big like that for Knight to get to that next level.
Do you see this Rollins match being what they go to right after Crown Jewel?
Sure. Yeah. Saturday night's main event makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I can't see that being much bigger of a show than that for an LA Knight match. Akira Tozawa and Maxine are walking in the back, and Becky Lynch runs down Maxine, calls her a loser, and Maxine wants to face Becky, and she brings up AJ Lee, and this sets off Becky, who drops a laughing Akira Tozawa, and he just goes out cold. He's on the ground. And then as Maxine is checking on Tozawa, Becky jumps her and then just leaves the scene, walks up to Seth, who is getting ready for his promo, which he's going out to conduct alone. And this is our lone appearance from Becky on this show. And this was our cliffhanger from last week, where she was off to go make an example of someone.
Seth was like four steps away from all of this, and he had no idea what was going on. Yeah. Well, he was so zoned in on his watch and just obsessing over Cody, of course. But interesting that like Maxine's last match on Raw was against Becky Lynch for the IC title in Quebec City. And that was back, well, August. So I guess this is a rematch.
The rematch we've been waiting for. That's going to happen next week.
She could do it this time.
Rollins comes out. There are a chance of CM Punk. There are a chance of OTC. And Rollins is just waiting and waiting till they get to his opponent of the month. And then they start singing for Cody Rhodes. And then he can start his promo. He notes being 0-3 against Cody. But it doesn't matter. Because that was in the past when we were reaching for the top. Now we're both on top. And Crown Jewel is the one that matters. The winner may decide the next 10 to 20 years of the future of this industry. So this match is just taking on greater heights.
Right. Realistically, would you say it might decide the next 10 to 20 minutes of this company? Like what's a realistic 10 to 20?
Not even then
10 to 20 seconds, not even.
Yeah,
it's not going to affect anything.
I would say maybe Ted Sarandos has the most control over the next 10 to 20 years if they want to opt out after 5 years, or if they end up going 20 years with this deal. That's probably the real power broker in all of this. He explains that some people actually want Cody to lead this company and think he's the quarterback. I am the one to lead this industry. I did everything right. I stayed when things got tough, when we had scripts written out and we came out here and creative changed in the middle of the show. I was here when this place sucked. He says, I took two guys under my wing. I gave them my knowledge and I tried to rid this place of cancer like Roman Reigns and CM Punk. Yet you still chant for Cody. So Cody, listening to all of this, comes out and he's got his ring on. He's ready for this Crown Jewel event. He says, neither of us have control over this industry. Only they do. The fans, the true arbiters of democracy. And he reminds them that Bronson and Braun Breaker showed up on SmackDown Friday. That's not their show. Is there a fine that's going to be imposed here? He thinks that Paul Heyman sent Reed and Breaker to SmackDown. And is he the one really making the decisions in this group? Not Rollins. But Rollins says, I sent them. Everything goes through me. Cody says, yeah. Was it your decision for Heyman to introduce Brock Lesnar? And he repeats that every decision goes through me. And the crowd chants, no, it doesn't. So Cody asks, where are the two of us going to be in 20 years? Are we going to be there in the back directing the future of this company, reminiscing about our old matches? You were my shield at WrestleMania 40, and I thought you were my friend. But before he can get it out, Rollins cuts him off. This is like Alexa Bliss and Charlotte. And you were never my friend. You were a means to an end, and you were the lesser of two evils. We will never be friends. I will never shake your hand, and we will write a new history and future after Crown Jewel.
Yeah, he's going to, cleanse the timeline, is his words.
Yes, so he's going to erase those three matches from history.
They have done that in the past. They have
maybe
managed to erase matches.
If yes. Rollins wins, he should get to eliminate those matches from all their streaming
Netflix
partners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those matches get deleted from history.
Sure.
So I think long term, these two will be friends. I think Seth will shake his hand, and I think they will come together at one point.
And then they'll feud again.
Sure.
This is the nature of pro wrestling, is it not?
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff from these two, I thought. You know, we had a bit more revealed here of Rollins' associations with Brock Lesnar, with Rollins suggest like, what? This was him basically saying that he did okay it, right? So, I mean, that is like the bigger mystery of all of this. I mean, we are probably obviously building to Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. And does that lead its way through this Vision feud? Is Brock Lesnar part of the Vision is the mystery.
Then we have Io still covered in mist. And Rhea comes in and asks, are you okay? Io, covered in this stuff, somehow she made her way to book a meeting with Adam Pearce. And it is Io and Rhea against the Kabuki Warriors at Crown Jewel. Rhea saw her earlier with Kairi Sane, making Rhea the only person who actually watches this show and knows what's going on. And can I trust you? Io says, you can trust me. I can't go back to them. So Rhea's like, okay, I'm in. So we have our tag match for Perth. And they hugged. And all the poison is now absorbed by Rhea's pores here as Io just leans right on her, this contaminated woman from the poison mist.
Well, it only works on the eyes. Okay. Oh,
okay.
And if it stays on the skin, I mean, you can't wash it off.
Her eyes seem to be like she identified every person that walked up to her in all these segments backstage. I think her eyes are going to be okay.
That's she can my see, but it hurts a lot. Okay. She's even like here after this, she says, oh, it really stings.
Okay. Well, all the best to her.
You just got to believe, John. Okay.
It's going to be a tough flight for these two to Australia when they're still detoxing from this mist.
I think he'll be okay. Yeah.
AJ Styles and Dragon Lee are in the ring, and we get a Dragon Lee promo. Honored to share this ring with the Aries spokesperson, AJ. Together, we are unstoppable. Together, we are CM Punk's wife, and I became the number one contender for the AAA Mega Championship. I am coming for you, Dominic. And now it's AJ's
man,
turn.
Man, this crowd did not care for that because this crowd just saw Dominic have
They were like, we're behind Dominic for whenever you guys have this match.
They just saw Dominic have this massive babyface performance. And here comes Dragon Lee, who, I mean, Dragon Lee's kind of cool, but he's not really that cool. You know, not in comparison to the cool heel doing the Eddie spot against Miro, right? Rusev. And so Dragon Lee just didn't really have much of a chance here cutting this sort of promo.
But thankfully, we've got AJ to take this one home. He thanks the fans for his match at Crown Jewel, where I get to beat up John Cena. And, you know, it's been like 9 years since he's uttered that phrase. And
we still remember.
I didn't sense like this crowd that necessarily got into this chant. I don't know.
I thought they reacted, but I mean, people online will react. Well, this whole story is exclusively for the people online, John. Didn't you hear? Okay, you fans willed it. I mean, this was a really interesting way of did they make any other mention of Cena versus Styles?
Not on TV.
Yeah, like this is almost supposed to be.
This was all done through
I meant tonight.
Oh, tonight. Yeah. They didn't push it at all tonight.
Like they didn't even show you a graphic. So like for a John Cena match, I mean they're really underplaying it.
You know what? To be quite honest, this is the program that probably needs your 3-part video. But I guess they have no John Cena to film anything with.
Well, I mean, I just find it interesting because they're almost like treating this like it's a secret and you kind of have to be online to understand the full story. They're not recapping what happened through the series of tweets. I mean, they're talking about it. They're saying the fans made it and that's about as much as they're saying. So they're really trying to promote this as if it's like this sort of viral,
They should do something next week to just like it's been 9 years. It's like 8-9 years since they've done their series of matches. Like they should put something together about just highlights of like these matches, which were quite incredible at the time when, you know, Cena was in his just groove doing these types of matches. But then he says, tonight we kick Los Americanos ass. It was amazing. Best moment of Raw. Los Americanos. So we have names now for the, El Grande Americano joined by Rayo, not De Jalisco, and Bravo. So Rayo is Pete Dunne and Bravo is Tyler Bate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
It's really odd seeing Pete Dunne without a singlet. I feel like I've only ever seen him in a singlet. So.
I'm sure this is exactly how Pete Dunne imagined he would, you know, at the doldrums of Butch. I think he knew that at the light at the end of the tunnel would be Rayo.
This is an upgrade for Butch.
It's a significant upgrade from Butch. So Dragon Lee gets crotched on the post. That sets up the commercial. AJ teases a phenomenal forearm after getting the hot tag, but Kaiser yanks him to the floor, and this allows Rayo and Bravo to super kick AJ. He comes back with a Pele kick, Pescado onto Grande on the floor, and then hits the phenomenal forearm to Rayo, sending him out to the floor. Lee hits a Tope Con Hero, and before doing so, presses Bravo into the air. AJ catches him into the Styles Clash. Nice finish here, and they win in 7 minutes and 3 seconds. I did like AJ and Lee. AJ Lee were great here.
Yeah, they should just really go for that name. I mean, they should just do a backstage interaction with them all. They seem to be really pushing AJ and Dragon Lee as a tag team that's sticking around beyond the Cena-AJ match. I mean, really, at least tonight, Cena versus AJ almost felt like an afterthought to just, you know, this team's campaign for sticking together as a tag team. So we can assume that they're probably going for the tag titles. Meanwhile, Los Americanos...
Let's just put the tag titles on them. They show up next week. They're the tag champions.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, Los Americanos, like, they're clearly just a supporting act for Kaiser, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and but I was really getting into them. They like it was neat seeing Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate work like a faux lucha style. Like, I mean, they're very fascinating to watch. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're supposed to be any sort of team we're supposed to, you know, take seriously for title contention.
Next week on the show, CM Punk is on. Becky Lynch against Maxine Dupri and Lyra Valkyria against Roxanne Perez as they ship back to 8 p.m. next week. So next week is at 8 p.m. The following week's show is at 8 a.m. in Australia.
All right. Interesting. Are we going to do an early morning review or at least a midday review?
We could. We could.
Yeah. Let's do it. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah. We might as well.
Yeah.
Jackie Redmond interviews Stephanie Vaquer, who is ready for anyone and excited to face Tiffany Stratton. I will become the crown jewel champion and wear that ring with pride for a week. Stratton, just in the neighborhood, walks in and she respects Stephanie Vaquer. But I have been champion for 268 days. I'm not going to let you change my story. And Vaquer says, Tiffy time will be over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, they've had trouble in the past building these like brand versus brand matches by like just not having as much crossover. You would have one champion cutting a promo and then the other champion responding on their show. Now they're just having them interact backstage. We've had this like repeatedly now, and it's only been really just, I would say 1 week on SmackDown, 1 week on Raw of this, but the match still feels relatively low on star power right now with two people. I mean, Vaquer is just a brand new champion and Stratton is still somebody who's in the midst of being established. So just on paper, when you're taking the belts out of this, this doesn't feel like the most, like one of the hotter title matches that's going to be on the show. And I'll also say, like, I think they need to achieve a whole lot more interest through these promos, but almost by necessity, these segments have to be overly scripted. Because of Vaquer's limitations, and therefore they really just kind of come across as passable and not really hot, at least with these examples we've had so far.
Is the future of the industry at stake in this match?
Oh, not at all. They're not even
10 to 20 years worth.
No. Yeah.
The Vision are getting ready for the main event, and Rollins is just in a trance and repeatedly stating he has to beat Cody. He has to beat Cody. So the tornado match closes the show, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed against the Usos, where Jay dives to start off the match and Reed clears the desk on top with Jimmy. And then Jimmy stops a jagged edge, super kicks Reed, and then turns around and there is Bron leaping off the barricade with a flying clothesline, crashing with Jimmy through the desk. Come back from break, and Jimmy is still dead on the floor, so it's 2-on-1 against Jay. They hit a Steinerizer, and as Reed climbs for the tsunami, Jimmy returns, knocking him off, but takes the jagged edge. There's a spear to Jay, and then the two are stacked on top of one another when Roman Reigns returns. But he hasn't come alone. He has got a chair. And out he comes, sends Breakker out of the ring, has a face-off with Bronson, and then whacks him with this chair over and over. Then he hits chair shots to Breaker. Jimmy manages a super kick, Jay with the spear, and a double Uso splash with Jay pinning Braun Breaker in 12 minutes and 38 seconds. And at the end, Reigns continues his chair shots on Breaker, and then Jay and Reigns lock arms like the Outrunners, and Reigns is giving him a big pep talk while Jimmy oversees this, and he can see what his brother is becoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no bucket hat here. This was serious business. And Jimmy caught in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really interesting to me, like what continues to be one of the more well built parts of Raw is the rift that's currently between Jimmy and Jay, with Jimmy feeling like Jay's being corrupted by Roman's darker sides. But I mean, I guess that didn't necessarily fully connect with me here, because we've established that Roman is at this point a fully sort of redeemed character. You know, who now knows how to make the sacrifice play, so to speak. He's shown character growth. And so I don't exactly know why Jimmy is so upset by this particular interaction, other than the fact that, you know, maybe he just sees his brother's more sort of vicious ambitions. Or maybe it was the line about, you know, you don't know anything about being a former champ, that's really bothering Jimmy in this particular moment, seeing two former champions having this moment and he being the only person caught in between. In any case, I think it's being very well done. It's being well told. And just in this little moment, the match I thought was really good. You know, tornado style really helps things feel a bit different from your typical WWE tag team wrestling style, which is just so patterned. And, you know, it can be very good, but we've just seen it so often that it's not as appealing. But doing this sort of tornado style with Braun and Bronson being as dynamic as they are and as exciting to watch as they are, I thought made this better than the Russell Palooza match for sure.
It felt like the focus was going to Bronson Reed and Roman again was the end here. Like it really made that the focus more so than Breaker in the midst of this. So I would expect that for Australia. And then that joins Cody and Seth, Vakar and Tiffany Stratton, Cena against AJ, and then we've got the tag with the Kabuki Warriors against Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. So if we do get Reigns and Bronson Reed, we're at our five matches, and we will see if there's anything more. But generally, that seems to be the outline. I guess the question is if Punk is included. He's on the show.
Doesn't seem like. Oh, you're right. He's on the show next week. We haven't seen AJ nor Punk since WrestlePalooza. So yeah, is Punk gonna do something to build up to next week? We'll see. But Saturday night's main event is also right afterwards, so they have to continue building to that as well.
All right, your overall thoughts on Raw?
I thought it was okay. You know, not necessarily so that I thought blew me away or anything like that. Not with the in-ring content, storytelling. I mean, I really get a kick out of this Io, Kairi, Asuka, Rhea stuff. It's fun, but I wouldn't necessarily say like it's the best. You know, it's the greatest.
I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I'm enjoying it almost like because it's so corny, but it's entertaining. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm watching a cheesy soap opera, but like I'm enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite Passions level, but it's got its charm. So, mm-hmm. So
totally.
All right. Well, we're going to say goodbye on YouTube. Again, new month at postwrestlingcafe.com. You join on board. The show doesn't have to end for you because we're going to be continuing over on the forum as we will be going through feedback and questions. Wei and I are going to be back on Wednesday night following a 2.5 hour edition of Dynamite. Yes. Mm. Extra 30 minutes.
Well, really just 2 hours, like last half hour. Sorry, 3 hours, isn't it?
It's 2.5 hours is what they're promoting Dynamite to
be. Oh, 2.5 hours. Okay. The 3 hour show is coming up in 2 weeks. Got it.
I think so. I can't keep all these shows straight. Yeah. That's it for us on YouTube, but we now continue at forum.postwrestling.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.